When we face challenges in life, what help do we have? Where can we go for strength? Where can we go for encouragement or comfort or hope? What do we have when, like the old hymn says, sorrows like sea billows roll? The answer is prayer. Prayer is our lifeline to God the Father Almighty. In prayer, we commune with our God, unburden ourselves to Him, ask for wisdom, ask for endurance, ask for patience, ask for strength. Through prayer, we are quite literally able to make our requests known to the Maker and Sustainer of heaven and earth. What a privilege prayer is. But even as I say that, there are some of you that are like, you're not there. For you, prayer doesn't seem like a privilege. It doesn't seem like help. You're not sure what to say. You don't know what to ask. You don't feel like you're very good at prayer. Maybe it seems like your prayers aren't answered. Maybe you wonder, quietly wonder, if your prayers do anything. Perhaps as a result of these things, you don't give yourself to prayer that much. Well, whether you are a warrior in prayer this morning or a weakling in prayer this morning, or even if you're a non-Christian here this morning and you don't know what prayer is, our text is full, in fact, overflowing with encouragement. And so I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Chapter 8. If you're new to looking at the Bible, Romans is in the New Testament. About three quarters of the way through that big book in your hands there, you will find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and you will eventually get to Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, picking up in verse 16. But before we do that, let me just give you some context. Last week's passage, this week's passage, and next week's passage are all about hope in the context of suffering. Last week it was the hope of glory to come. The sufferings of this present age are nothing in comparison to the glory of heaven. That gives us hope. Next week we'll see how everything, and I mean everything, works together for good, even our suffering. That gives us hope. And this week it's about prayer. And here is what is so particularly encouraging. Even when you don't know what to pray, even when you don't know what to ask, friends, the Spirit Himself prays for you. And that gives us hope. So let's get in. I want to start in 8:16 and we'll read through verse 27. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. We are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption of sons, redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And now we come to our text for this morning. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Three truths jump up to the surface of the text. Number one, the Spirit helps us. Number two, the Spirit prays for us. And number three, the Spirit's prayers are effective. So let's consider the Spirit's help. Verse 16, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, when suffering hits, we need help. We need help because we're weak. And praise God, the Spirit helps us. Paul has talked a lot about the Spirit in Romans chapter 8 already. The Spirit of God is in us, verse 9. He leads us, verse 14. He bears witness to us that we are the sons of God, verses 15 and 16. And he is the first fruits of our inheritance, verse 23. I want to take just a moment, and I want to just teach you a little bit about the Spirit of God. Who is he? What is he about? I don't presume we all know these things. Well, first off, the Christian faith is Trinitarian. We believe, because the Scriptures teach, that there is only one God. There are not many gods. There is not the sun god or the moon god or the fertility god or the rain god or the snow god for smugs. There is only one God, creator of heaven and earth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, Deuteronomy 6:4. You believe that God is one. You do well, James 2:19. And Scripture also teaches that this one God exists eternally in three persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Each person of the Godhead is fully God, equal in glory, honor, and majesty. Each person of the Godhead is distinct. So the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Spirit. And the Spirit is not the Son, and the Spirit is not the Father. The persons of the Godhead are distinct, yet there are not three gods. There is only one God. And this one God exists eternally in three persons. What did we confess this morning? Three in one, one in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God of our salvation. We worship you as one being, one essence, one God in three distinct persons. The church has always believed this because Scripture teaches this. Is it mysterious? Yes. Can you wrap your mind around it fully? No. Is it true? Yes. And it's not just true. It's glorious, because salvation is Trinitarian. From all eternity, the Father determined to save a people for himself by sending his Son to die on the cross and rise. And from all eternity, the Son was willing in the fullness of time to take on flesh, to leave the glories of heaven, and to accomplish our salvation by his death and resurrection. And from all eternity, it was determined that the Spirit would come and apply salvation to sinners like you and me. The Father planned our salvation. The Son accomplished our salvation. And the Spirit applies our salvation. Let's just think for a moment about what the Spirit does. What does He do? The text says, He helps us. Friend, He helps us in so many ways. First way He helps us is by regenerating us. Christian, do you know why you're a Christian? It's because the Spirit of God took your stone cold, unbelieving, unresponsive heart and He turned it into a heart of flesh, a heart that responds. He is the one, the Spirit is the one who convicted you of your sin, who showed you Jesus Christ, and who then caused you to repent and believe, and thus you were saved. Titus says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly, Jesus Christ, our Savior." The Spirit of God is the agent of the new birth. The Spirit of God takes the salvation God offers through Christ and applies that to you and to me personally. Amazing! And there's more. He takes up residence in every single Christian's heart. "I will put my Spirit within you," Ezekiel 36. "He has put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts," 2 Corinthians 1:22. Just let this blow your mind for a second. The Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Trinity, personally resides in the heart of every single Christian. And He is there to help you. And so, what does He do? He convicts you of your sins. You know that guilt you feel when you've sinned against the Lord? That feeling that kind of just gnaws at you and it bugs you and it won't let you go on about your normal life until you deal with it? That's the Spirit of God inside you. He's convicting you so that you confess it and turn from it and walk in the light. What a help. And you know that peace that comes when you repent? When you bring that sin to the cross and when you remind yourself that that sin is paid for, that sin is forgiven, the Spirit brings comfort to you. He's your comforter. What a help. And you know that the Spirit is the one who helps you by illuminating Scripture so that you can understand God's Word. The Spirit is the one who equips you to serve Christ's church. The Spirit helps you by assuring you that you belong to Jesus Christ. And then here's the specific help that Paul zeroes in on today. The Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray. Look at 16 again. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for because we do not know what to pray for as we ought." Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever struggled to know what to pray for? That's kind of like saying, have you ever eaten at McDonald's, right? Of course you've struggled to know what to pray for. I think particularly in suffering, we don't know what to pray for. I think about my mom's cancer. That was a difficult time. 6 years of treatment, decline, and ultimately death. Brothers and sisters, there were times that I just didn't know what to pray. Do I pray for healing? If not healing, do I pray for effective treatment that elongates her life? Or do I pray for rapid decline so as to minimize suffering? And then what about what to pray when my heart just aches with the pain of the loss? Brothers and sisters, there are times I just didn't know what to pray. When have you not known what to pray? When have you bowed your head? You just didn't have words. Help me, Lord. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to ask for. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know how to pray in this moment. Help me, Lord. It is here where the Spirit helps you. And how? By praying for you. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God prays for you. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This is unbelievable. Are you picking up what He's putting down? When you don't know what to pray, the Spirit of God Himself intercedes for you. Now, a couple of things. The Spirit's intercession is not apart from your prayers. The Spirit's intercession is in and through your prayers. In other words, this is not a license or a reason to check out of prayer. Like, you shouldn't walk away from this thinking, well, I don't need to pray because the Spirit prays for me. No, you've missed the point. The context of this is your prayers. In your praying, when you don't know what to ask or say or do, the Spirit prays in and through your prayers. If you don't pray, you have no promise that the Spirit is praying. This promise is that the Spirit assists you in your prayers. So far from being a reason to check out of prayer, this is a reason to check into prayer. This is a reason to get in the game with prayer. Because when you pray, the Spirit Himself intercedes for you. The text says He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You may remember that's a word, that groaning word. It's been used several times in chapter 8 just recently. The creation groans, we groan, and now we read that the Spirit groans. But these groans of the Spirit are different than ours, and they're different than the creation's. By the way, some think this is referring to speaking in tongues. This is clearly not speaking in tongues for one simple reason. This is something Paul envisions for all Christians. All Christians pray, and the Spirit helps all Christians pray. The gift of tongues was a gift of the Spirit given to some Christians, not all Christians. So for that reason alone, this groaning is not speaking in tongues. This groaning refers to inaudible words, the unspoken words of the Holy Spirit of God to God the Father in prayer. As you mumble, as you bumble, as you lose track of what you were saying, as you wonder what you should say, the Spirit prays for you. I wonder if you've ever just experienced the blessing of a prayer partner. Have you ever found that praying with someone is more enjoyable than praying alone and refreshing to your soul? What a blessing it is, right, to have a trusted brother, a trusted sister alongside of you that you trust and know and that knows you, and together you can come and you can lift up your requests for God, to God. Church, every single one of you has a prayer partner. We have a prayer partner in our private prayers. We have a prayer partner when we're all alone. It's the Holy Spirit, and what's more, our prayer partner, the Holy Spirit, is the best prayer partner ever. You know why? Because of the third point. Because of the Spirit's effectiveness. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He who searches the hearts is referring to God the Father. David writes to Solomon, his son, and he says, "And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought." And so Paul says, God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. In context, that's he knows the prayers of the Spirit. How does he know them? Well, because the first and second person of the Trinity have fundamental unity. And so, of course, God hears. Of course, God knows. And God responds to the prayers of the Spirit. And just why does God respond to the prayers of the Spirit? Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is amazing. Here's what this means. The Spirit's prayers are always effective. They are always effective. Why? Because the Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. Look, we don't know what to pray. We oftentimes just don't. And sometimes, perhaps, we're praying for the wrong thing. But the Spirit, he never prays for the wrong thing. He always knows what's best. And he prays for us according to the will of God. And so his prayers will always be answered in the affirmative. His prayers will always be effective. This is amazing. Christian, you not only have a prayer partner, you have the best prayer partner anyone could imagine. One who knows you inside and out. One who knows the Father inside and out. And one who prays for you exactly in accordance with the will of God. And thus his prayers are effective. That's amazing. Just think about the implications of this. What the Spirit does is he takes my bumbling and mumbling and perhaps my tears and your tears, and he perfects them. It's as though I'm a child and I'm learning to speak. I'm trying to get things out, but I don't know how, and I don't know what's best. And like a loving mom or dad, the Spirit comes in, and not only does he know what I'm saying, he knows what's best. And so he comes to me and he says, "Don't worry, I'll take it from here." And then he prays for me. In and through my groans, he prays for me. Sometimes he prays for me in ways I may not know, or in ways I may not want. Children ask for things they think they want. Children ask for things they think is best, but a loving or wise mom or dad knows better. Likewise, the Spirit knows what's better. He knows what's best. So even though I may pray for one thing, even though you may pray for one thing, the Spirit may pray for another. And praise God, he does, because he prays for me and for you according to the will of God. Amen. You know, another way I trust that the Spirit helps us in prayer is he prompts us to pray. We're going about our day. He brings to mind a person or a problem. All of a sudden, we think, "Oh, I need to pray." Or he brings to mind a passage. And all of a sudden, we think, "Yes, I should pray this passage for that person." What an amazing help the Spirit is to us. Incredible. You know, this morning I chose a very short text, 2 verses. I don't think I've ever preached on just 2 verses. You know, I did it for 2 reasons. Number one, I need help to pray. I wanted this text to help me. And number two, you need help to pray. I wanted this text to help me. I wanted this text to help you. And so let me just offer some reflections here on prayer in light of the help of the Spirit that this text so wonderfully opens up for others, for us. Brothers and sisters, I hope this spurs you to greater fervency in prayer. If it doesn't, I've either done a bad job or you haven't been listening. How could this not encourage you to pray? This totally removes the pressure of getting it right. Some of you, I know you, you're nervous about getting prayer right. You're afraid to say the wrong thing. You're afraid of approaching God in the wrong way. You're thinking, surely it's got to be done just like this. No, it doesn't. Pressure's off. The Spirit's going to take what you say and perfect it. The Spirit's going to pray for you. In one sense, I want to tell you, congratulations, you can't mess this up. Does the fear of getting it wrong discourage you from praying? Christian, be discouraged no more. Does a sense of inadequacy discourage you from praying? You know, some of us, if we don't feel adequate to a task, we don't do it. So we don't want to look the fool. Because of that, we may not pray. Because we feel inadequate. We don't want to be ineffective. Well, first of all, I want to tell you, prayer shouldn't be thought of like that. You don't need to be adequate to unburden yourself to your Father in heaven. Jesus has made you adequate by giving you His righteousness by faith. But next, I would say, the effectiveness of your prayers is certain because of the Spirit. Because He takes your prayers and He perfects them. And so no time in prayer is ever wasted. Perhaps for others, it's seeming unanswered prayers that discourage you from praying. Well, I want to say several things here. Number one, those prayers may not be answered because the Spirit is arcing the direction of your prayers away from what you think is best to what He knows is best. And that's good. Number two, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers swiftly because He's working something in us. He's working perseverance in prayer, patience in prayer, diligence in prayer. Brothers and sisters, no prayer of yours is ignored. No prayer of yours bounces back from God's server and lands in His spam email. Doesn't happen. Now, for others, your challenge in prayer is quite simply, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. And so you don't pray much. Let the Spirit help you. Likewise, the Spirit Himself intercedes. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what to pray as we ought. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us. And so I just want to encourage you, mumble, bumble, pray. The Spirit will intercede for you. But let me help you more. Use the prayers of others. It is no spiritual foul to use the words of others to assist you in your prayers. Keep your Sunday bulletin handy and pray through the confession of sin. Pray through the confession of faith. Better yet, buy a copy of the Valley of Vision. It's a compilation of Puritan prayers and devotions that we use as the basis for many of our confessions. It was the basis for this confession this morning. Let the words of others help you. Most of all, let Scripture itself help you. Church, when you don't know what to pray, pray Scripture. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray a psalm. Pray a prayer of Paul in the epistles. If you don't know what to pray, how about praying the words inspired by the Spirit of God Himself? Pretty safe bet, don't you think? Are you ever hesitant to pray through the directory because you just don't know what to pray? If I had a dime for every time one of you said, well, I struggle to pray through the directory because I don't know what I should pray for the other person. Okay, I got you. Pray Scripture for them. Father, I pray that my sister would be strengthened with power through your Spirit in her inner being, so that Christ may dwell in her heart through faith, that she, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. May she be filled with the fullness of God. I'd say that's a pretty good prayer. It's Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. And I just replaced the pronoun with the person I'm praying for. Let Scripture help you. Let the prayers of our worship services help you. The Spirit will take all of this and intercede on your behalf. Praise God! Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to know this. The privilege of access to the Father, the indwelling of the Spirit, the help of the Spirit, effective prayers, none of this belongs to you right now because you are separated from God because of your sin. Friend, the only way that you can come to Him and be received is through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, what God has done for sinners like you and like me is provide for us a substitute sacrifice for our sin. Jesus died and rose to pay the price for your sin if you will turn from it and trust in Him. If you'd like to know more about what it means to trust in Christ, please grab me afterwards. I would love to get you set up with a Bible study that we have that covers the basics of this fantasticness. Let me also say this. If you're here, you've been here for years, and you know the gospel, and yet you aren't a Christian, I want you to pray too. Pray for eyes to see your sin. Pray for eyes to see the sufficiency of Jesus Christ to pay the price for your sin. Pray for faith to believe the promise of the gospel and to walk in faith with the Lord Jesus. Pray and keep praying that prayer. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit and do so with confidence, because the Scripture says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. I would like us to close in a time of prayer. First, silent prayer. I want you to take time to pray in your own heart. Pray about whatever the Lord has impressed upon you through this word this morning. Pray about whatever lies heavy upon your heart. Pray about your prayers. Pray. The Spirit will help you. And after a few minutes, I'll close us. Let's go to God. God. Three in one. One in three. We thank you for help in prayer. Lord, we know that the Son intercedes for us in heaven, but Lord, to know that the Spirit intercedes for us even in our own hearts. What a double blessing we have. Grant us grace to respond to these truths with greater fervency and enjoyment of this precious gift that you have given to us. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer and King. Amen.